Bobby Feldon in Find His Keepers, where we make the mistakes and our contestants make the money. You'll be hearing from the Murphy sisters and Jerry Jerome and his Torrid Tunesters and the Find His Keepers thespians. And today's jackpot totals $71. And now here he is, still looking for a diet, one that'll take his bread away. The biggest man in radio, Happy Feldon.
Thank you, Robin. Good morning, you dazzling damsels, and a cheery greeting to you, every one of you. We're all raring to get going here. So, to put you in the same frame of mind, Jerry Jerome and the orchestra have a fast tempo tune prepared to shoo away the blues. Dilly called A Glass of Water from the pitcher with the same name.
Oh.
Now, Jerry Jerome, thank you for the lovely music, and here's a charming lady that seemed to appreciate it because we were dancing together.
What was her name?
Her name is Mrs. Catherine Armstrong. Thank you. Mrs. Armstrong, how are you?
I'm very fine, thank you, Mr. Felton.
Thank you. What is your first name?
Catherine, spelled in the good old-fashioned way with a C.
With a C. My name's Happy.
Hello, Happy.
How are you, Katie? Well, it's nice to see you here. Where are you from, Mrs. Armstrong?
Westfield, New Jersey now, formerly from Kansas City, Missouri.
Formerly from Kansas City. Well, that's nice. You've lived over in New Jersey for some time now?
Well, I've been married for 17 years.
17 years? What does Mr. Armstrong do?
He's a physician.
A physician. And you have any children?
Yes, I have two.
Tell me about them.
My son is 13, and my daughter's going to be 10 next week.
And what's the boy's name?
Lorimer.
Lorimer and the girls.
Peggy Lou.
Peggy Lou. I hope they're listening in. Do you think there's any chance of it?
Oh, I'm afraid they're in school, and I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's right. We have a group of school children here from Hunter School here up in the back. I thought maybe they'd give me a nice round of applause when I mentioned their school, but I didn't hear a word out of them. Maybe they've all gone to sleep or nothing. There they are. They were making so much noise earlier. Now I know where they are.
There certainly are many children here this morning.
Yes, well, we like to have the children here, Mrs. Armstrong. And we especially want to talk about you and what you do over in Westfield, New Jersey. Do you have any hobbies besides taking care of your children, your home?
Well, we take a great many travel movies, colored movies of the national parks and various places that we travel. And we have a great deal of pleasure in showing them to people.
Well, that's nice. It won't be long before you can travel again.
Well, we're looking forward to that.
Do you do any work for the Red Cross or anything like that?
The Red Cross Canteen.
Red Cross Canteen. That's in Westfield?
That's right.
That's fine. Tell me, how did you meet your husband, Mrs. Armstrong?
Oh, we both went to the University of Kansas.
University of Kansas. That's at Lawrence, isn't it?
That's right.
I remember that. Well, I played a prom there years ago.
Oh, did you really?
Yes. Well, tell
me. Maybe I met you at that time.
You're being very nice. You're far too young, Mrs. Armstrong. I'm
Thank
an old,
you.
Tired man. I played there many years ago. Mrs. Armstrong, tell me, when you met your husband, what was the first thing he said to you that really built up to your getting married? Now tell me the truth.
Oh, dear. We met over a flinch game at a cousin of his.
Flinch?
Flinch. Good old-fashioned flinch.
I haven't heard of flinch since I used to play lotto. Well, Mrs. Armstrong, we've been talking about your children. I have some of my own, and we want you to win some money here today. In our little game, we're going to have a fairy tale. Now, every time you hear a mistake in our fairy tale, we want you to push the button. Let's try it just once. Thank you. It's working all right, and every time you push the button, you have found a mistake, so we're going to pay you $2 silver. I suppose you've had to tell your children bedtime stories from time to time, haven't you?
Well, I have.
Yes, we've all had that problem. We have a modernized version of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. By the way, I wanted to tell you a little story. Deirdre, my little girl, came home from Sunday school. She said she'd learned a song about a cross-eyed bear named Gladly. I couldn't understand that. I found out that she'd learned a new hymn, and it was called Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear. Well, we're telling you a different kind of a bear story today. In the find it, we won't count as mistakes where our story differs with the original story. But you keep an ear out for mistakes that we will make in fact and in word. Now I'll begin a special finder's keeper's version of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Once upon a time, there was a little girl, and her name was Goldilocks. She was called Goldilocks because of her coal black hair. One day, Goldilocks got lost in the woods, and she might have had to sleep in a haystack if she hadn't found a little house that was covered with vines and second mortgages. There was nobody home, so she stepped inside, sampled the food in the bowls on the table, tried out the three chairs, and finally tumbled into one of the three beds. As soon as she was fast asleep, and now the house belonged to three bears, a mama bear, a papa bear, and a baby bear. They'd been out shopping for their bear necessities. They entered the house.
Oh, boy. I'm hungry as a man. I'm glad we left these three bowls of spinach to get cool. We're carnivorous animals, so we can enjoy good vegetables. Hey, somebody's been eating from my bowl.
And somebody has been eating from my bowl, too.
Well, how do you know?
Because that's not my lipstick on the rim.
What about you, baby bear?
An unidentified individual who, without our consent, has invaded the privacy of our domicile, tasted my spinach, and consumed its entire contents.
I wish you'd quit one-syllable words. Oh, look! Somebody's been sitting in my chair.
And somebody has been sitting in my chair, too.
And from all indications, somebody has reposed in my chair, too, and has demolished it ruthlessly. It was a windback chair, and now we'll never fly again.
There's something strange about all this. Let's go into the bedroom. Somebody's been lying in my bed.
How do you know?
Well, look at the bed cover.
Somebody has been lying in my bed, too. The sandwich spread is all wrinkled.
If I'm not being too presumptuous, somebody has been lying in my bed, too. And the intruder is still among those present.
Well... not bad looking either.
Henry, remember you're a bear, not a wolf.
Look, she's waking up.
Oh, where am I?
I would hazard a surmise that you are in a quandary. How did you get here?
I took a preamble in the woods and got lost.
Now, tell me, Goldilocks, is there a reward for your return?
Oh, no.
Then as far as we're concerned, you're still lost.
Wasn't that a silly story? Didn't you like our Goldilocks?
Oh, he's very handsome.
Yes. All right, I see you did just fine, Mrs. Armstrong. 5 out of 6. Let's look over the corrections now. The first one, she was called Goldilocks because of her coal black hair.
Well, she had golden
hair.
That's
right. I know an older girl who thought she'd conquered gray hair. But she just established a bleach head. The next one was, we're carnivorous. What am I saying? Carnivorous, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to give you credit for that one, too. I can't even pronounce it myself. The third one, anyways, bears don't only eat meat, they eat vegetables. Is that right?
Yes.
Carnivorous, whatever it is, they eat only meat. Now, the third one, when the baby bear said an unidentified individual has invaded the privacy of our domicile and consumed the entire contents, Papa Bear said, I wish you'd quit using only one-syllable words. They were more than one soul.
Oh, I thought that was just a bit of humor in the story.
Well, I'm glad somebody appreciated it. Thank you. All right, the next one. It was a wingback chair, and now it will never fly again.
Well, it probably wasn't a wingback chair, and no chair flies.
That's right. Someone has been lying on my bed. The sandwich spread is all wrinkled.
Well, I don't believe that would be the kind of a spread.
That's right. I took a preamble into the woods and got lost.
Well, preamble is wrongly used.
That's right. It would be an amble in the woods, wouldn't
That's
it?
That's right.
That's right. Five out of six, Mrs. Armstrong. Thank you. We're paying
Thank
you ten
you.
Silver dollars. And stand by for the jackpot. And now, here we go. It's time for our audience find it. We're going down to the auditorium, give you folks a chance at some find-its. Up with the house lights. Here's Robin Denton with the money, and my granddaddy Fid comes out here with the bag. Ah, the grab bag. Now, remember, speak up real loudly. We want to talk to someone here as we go along. What's your name, please, sir?
Levine Robertson.
And your, what is your rating?
Aviation metalsmith first class.
In the United States Navy. All right. Your question, find the mistake in this, sir, for two silver dollars. A baseball bat is blind in the daytime. What's that?
What do you answer?
Well, you just tell me what's wrong with that statement.
Well, a baseball bat wouldn't be blind at all.
Never did see at all, did it? No, it's the wrong kind of bat. Give him the two silver dollars. He's exactly right. Let's move around here, talk to somebody else. A lady I want to talk to. What's your name, please?
This is Nana Schnella.
Where are you from?
Astoria, Long Island.
Astoria, Long Island. A question for one silver dollar. Times Square is a famous spot in Boston.
New
Where is
New York.
You're so smart. Isn't that wonderful? These are the toughest questions. Pay her the silver dollar, and here's a young fellow right here in the uniform of the Cub Scouts. He's a redhead. What's your name?
Kent Woodworth.
Kent, where are you from?
Darien.
Darien, Connecticut?
Yes.
How old are you?
10.
You're 10 years old. Here's a question for one silver dollar. Gunpowder is a shade of face powder for blondes. Do you think that's right?
No.
What do you think gunpowder is? Used in guns, of course. Of course to shoot it. Don't be nervous. Look at those freckles. Aren't they dandies? Oh, it's a pip. Give him one silver dollar and a chance at the grab bag. Granddaddy Fid. Bring him over the grab bag.
Here you are, fellas. Get in there and show me see what you got to do here.
What did he get? What did he get? Pull it out. What is it?
What you got there?
Open it up quick. A baby's bib of all things. My goodness. What is your name?
Mary Munzer.
Where are you from, Mary?
No, New York.
Where, right here in New York City. All right, a question for one silver dollar. Henry Hudson discovered the Mississippi.
No, the Hudson River.
The Hudson River for one silver dollar. That's wonderful, wonderful. I want to talk to somebody else. I'm just running around here. Young man right there, stand up. Quick, stand up, stand up. What's your name?
Edwin Polanski.
Where are you from, Ed?
Canarsie.
How old are you?
I'll be 13.
You'll be 13. I've got a question for one silver dollar. Washington, D.C. was named for President Monroe. Who was it named for?
Washington.
George Washington, the first president of our country, right? What grade are you in school?
8A.
You're going to be in 9 for long. You're a very smart boy. Give him a silver dollar. Give him a chance at the grab bag, Granddaddy Fid. What did he get out of the grab bag? Pull it out. What is it? Stove polish. This grab bag is really silly here. What is your name, please?
Marion Skelly.
Where are you from, Marion?
Westfield, New Jersey.
Westfield, New Jersey. Here's a question for one silver dollar. Tooth powder is made from elephant's teeth.
That's right.
That's right. She said that was right. Give her a chance at the grab bag. Give her a nickel, Robin. Give her a nickel. What'd you get there? What is it? A shaving brush. A shaving brush. Isn't that a very cute young lady here? What is your name, my dear?
Gay Glover.
Gay, where are you from?
Ridgewood, New Jersey.
Ridgewood, New Jersey. Now speak up real loud. I've got a question for a dollar for you. A question for a big silver dollar. The color of your coat is red.
No, it's blue.
It's blue. Of course it is. Give her the silver dollar and Granddaddy Fid. Give her a chance at the grab bag.
Yeah, yeah,
what did she get out of the grab bag? What is it? What is it? A hairnet. A hairnet. A little young for that sort of thing. I want to talk to one more fellow right up here. I've got him right here beside me. What's your name, please, sir?
Bill Burns.
And what is it? United States Army?
No, that's Transportation Corps. Hospital ships.
Hospital ships. Transportation Corps. For three silver dollars, a question for you, sir. Are you ready? A paragraph is something you carry when it's raining.
That's wrong.
What is a paragraph?
Well, a paragraph is made up of sentences.
He's exactly right. Give him the three silver dollars. Tell me, did you have fun here at our game? Come back again.
Circus's finest keepers with Happy Feldman as our game warden. And here's our next contestant.
I want to meet him. You know, that last tune that Jerry played there on his saxophone and with the orchestra was written, dedicated to a very famous movie star. Yes, it was.
Who?
I'll be Don Amici in a taxi, huh?
Oh, no!
Right now, I think it's time to meet this young man. What's your name, please?
Sergeant Adams, sir.
How are you, sir? What's your first name, Sergeant?
Well,
this is the United States Army I'm talking to here. Well, did you say Hoyle?
Yes, sir.
Everything's according to...
That's me.
That's you. Everything's according to Hoyle.
Sure is.
Where's your home, Hoyle?
Knoxville, Tennessee.
Knoxville, Tennessee. Tell me, are you married?
Not yet, sir.
Not yet, sir? Where's your girl?
Here in New York City. She works over in New York Hospital.
She does?
Yes, sir.
Wasn't that fine? Hadn't he got a great grin here? Oh, that's a wonderful face you got there, brother. Just keep talking to me now, because I enjoy it when somebody smiles at me and tell me all about Knoxville.
Well, it's situated on the bank of the Tennessee River. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's a lake now with the Tennessee Valley Authority down there. They have all those dams down there, so we have one continuous lake.
Thank you.
That's the home of the Tennessee Valley Authority, as I said, and it's the western gateway to the Great Smoky Mountain National Park.
Man, this is really... We've got a delegate here from the Chamber of Commerce. Well, Ron, you're doing just fine. What did you do before you went in the Army?
I was a student at the University of Tennessee that's situated there, too.
You know, I played some dances down there. You have a rather...
Nayeli dances?
Yes. Well, no, you had a dance at the university. You have a different name for him, that is, to a Yankee.
Oh.
You notice I didn't use the other preface to it.
Yes, I know it.
They call him the German, isn't that right? Don't you have the... Isn't that what you call the dance? The German? The spring German?
You mean the square dances?
No, what do you call your University of Tennessee dances?
Oh, the Nayeli dances.
Well... I certainly was there.
Oh, that fine occasion.
All right. Well, Hoyle, we're going to have a little fun here. And believe me, brother, from Tennessee, I want you to have some money in your pocket when you walk away from here. All right, we're going to play a little game. You're not married, so you wouldn't know about this, but... Well, I'll tell you now, I'm going to give you a little lesson because this will be facing you for long. I have some children, you know, and I have some very definite ideas about raising children. I'd like to tell you what happened to me the other day, and for every mistake you can find in what I'm talking about, we'll pay you $2. I was talking about children right here on the show when all of a sudden a woman came up out of the audience and she made an awful fuss. Oh, my goodness. What did you say your name was?
I'm Mrs. Mortimer Grunt.
Mrs. Mortimer Grunt.
Yes,
you look like Johnny Eager to me. All right.
And I didn't get to be a contestant, but I have something to say about children.
My word, Mrs. Grunt, you frightened me. I'm awfully sorry. I'm busy talking to Hoyle here. Couldn't we discuss your children later?
No, I want to discuss them now. I'm going to tell you about my boy. I have a son that's a genius. He's a senior in high school already, and he's only 29 years old.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Grunt. Now, goodbye.
Only that, but he's so good in calculus that they're moving him up into arithmetic classes.
Well, thank you. Very interesting, I'm sure. Thank you. Goodbye, Mrs. Grunt.
Oh, he's so smart that I'm sure he'll be a great man someday. Probably invent the dictaphone. And not only that, but he's quite an athlete. He's the best baseball player on the squid.
Goodbye, Mrs. Grunt.
And the reason is that I've watched in his diet all his life. He's just crazy about pies. He's a real pyromaniac. Why, the whole faculty is tremendously interested in him. They think he's quite a case. They wanted to give him a Rhodes Scholarship, but my husband's a traveling salesman, and one traveling man in the family is enough.
That's very interesting, Mrs. Grunt, and now I must warn
you. And not only that, but the other day, he said this morning...
wasn't there. Well, that was very fine. All right, Hoyle, step in here. My goodness, there's no doubt about... Hoyle, I see you have 6 out of 6. Robin's a little wet there. He's slipped.
Well, let's check these over for our audience. Yeah, that was a real good laugh, and I love a good laugh. Now the first one. My son's a genius. He's a senior in high school already, and he's only 29.
Well, if he's a senior in high school, he should be around the age of 18.
That's right. He wouldn't be very much of a genius.
He should be about 16.
But that's a silly statement anyway, and I can prove it. After all, when I graduated, I was 28.
Oh, genius, though.
He's so good in calculus, they're moving him up to arithmetic class.
So calculus is much higher arithmetic.
That's exactly right. He'll probably invent the dictaphone. The
dictaphone been invented a long time ago.
Somebody else beat him to it.
That's right.
My mother-in-law.
Oh.
If she's listening in, I'm only kidding, of course. The next one. He's the best baseball player on the squid.
Well, squid in baseball.
No, what would it be? This?
I don't know.
On the squad.
Squad.
That's right. A squid is like an octopus.
Well, a baseball would be a team, too. It wouldn't be squad football.
Well, could be. I'm telling you, these Tennessee boys come smart. They twisted me right around it on that one. Well, in my little book here, it says that a squid is like an octopus. And it's so called because when a boy octopus sees a girl octopus, he shouts, "Oh, you squid." Now, on the next one. The second one, a pyromaniac is one who likes to light fires, and he said, my son is crazy about pies, he's a pyromaniac. You had all of them right here. They wanted to give him a Rhodes Scholarship, but one traveling man in the family is enough. Tell me, what is a Rhodes Scholarship?
A Rhodes Scholarship? I guess that's a scholarship to a university, and they said something about being on a road.
That's exactly right. It provides scholarships at Oxford University to about 100 candidates from British Dominions and 96 candidates from the United States. Hoyle, gee, it's been nice having you here.
Nice.
We're
going to
pay you $12 silver right now, but stand by for the jackpot. Congratulations. Looky, what have we here? The three lovely Murphy sisters, and I, H. Felton, have written a poem about the Murphy sisters. There once were three lovely tune twisters. Their name were the three Murphy sisters. When they swing in rhythm, young people swing rhythm, and older men break out in blisters. Don't you like that, girl? Nobody likes my poetry anymore. All right, I'll go back and write another one. Here are the Murphy sisters with a special version of Counting the Days.
Tomorrow will surely come. Tomorrow.
Sing so pretty. Well, it's my granddaddy Fid. How are you?
You guys happy down there? Murphy Sisters, they really sing, don't they?
Yeah, they
you
sing.
You think I could get them to play at that social Saturday night?
Well, that may be, but look, where's your fiddle? Yesterday you started to play, you broke a string. I thought you'd be back today to play.
Well, I did intend to play, but doggone, I had some trouble today.
Trouble?
Yes, you see, I intended to play one meatball.
One meatball?
Yes, but I couldn't get the points.
Well, Granddaddy said that's mighty nice.
Yes, and Happy, you know, I didn't care much for that poem that you said out here.
Nobody seemed to. I'm a little hurt about my poetry.
Yes, it wasn't very good. Anyway, you didn't write that yourself, did you?
Yes, I wrote it myself.
Well, I still don't think nothing of it.
You don't?
No, but I wrote a poem myself.
Oh, you wrote a poem?
Would you like to hear it?
Yes, go ahead. Everybody else is writing.
Well,
go ahead.
I don't like to. Has her gone, is her went, has her left eye all alone. Her can never come to we, us can never go to she. Oh, how fun it was.
All right, Granddaddy Finn, here we are. Thank you. Here's the big exciting moment, the jackpot finder. Bring up our contestants. No one has yet found the identity of the person whose life we've been dramatizing. So our jackpot has been accumulating every day. And now it totals $73. All you have to do to win that $73 is to find the identity of the person we're going to tell you about. We'll present an episode from that person's life. And if you can tell us who it is, you'll win the money. If not, that $73 will be carried over until tomorrow when another episode from the same person's life will be presented. And now, Robin, will you tell us what's happened up to now?
Yes. We've already told our listeners that our unknown heroine was Mary Pickford's understudy, that she was born in 1903, that she worked on Vanity Fair as an associate editor, and that she was a playwright. Now, as our scene opens today, the young lady in question is conversing with Ilka Chase, well-known comedian.
I tell you, darling, I couldn't be more thrilled. The play is an enormous success. You've written the play of your career. And as for me, I'm the happiest woman in New York. You've no idea how I love being catty to other women. And what a wicked part you've given me. My dear, it suits me to a T.
Can you tell me who was that playwright, Mrs. Catherine Armstrong? Sergeant Hoyle Adams. Can you tell me who it was?
Oh, she has it.
A winner?
Yeah.
Mrs. Armstrong, step to the microphone. A winner, that's right. You're exactly right. It's that glamorous member of Congress, Claire Booth Luce, who is now overseas on official duty. Congratulations, Mrs. Armstrong.
Thank you very much.
$73. Well, there's Sergeant Hoyle right there beside you. Mrs. Armstrong, step in there. Tell me what you're going to do with the money.
Oh, goodness, I was going to use the $10 I won to take the crowd to lunch that I'm in the matinee with today.
Well,
I don't think we could eat that much, though, do you? Today?
Invite me and we'll take care of the whole amount.
All right.
All right, here we go. Thank you. You know, the Latsky is always out here at Finders Keepers, so when you're in the vicinity, come on over and help us have some fun. Tickets are available on the mezzanine of NBC here at Radio City until one half hour before the broadcast. The Murphy Sisters will be with us, Jerry Jerome and the orchestra, and the Finders Keepers players. Now, here's Happy Cosmic.
Thank you, Robin Dent. Thank you, listeners, for being with us this morning. Gee, you're nice people. Before I go, here's a little thought for the day. Each bond contributes to Adolf Reed and gives the Jap a good kick in the teeth. Buy another one, won't you? All I can say now is goodbye, everybody. Finders Keepers comes to you from New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.